Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We're at Bridgestone Arena today. Predators and Devils later on this evening for Captain's Night. Looking forward to that. But still talking about the Super Bowl, the Chiefs win their third in 5 years. That is a dynasty and a man that was out there all last week. Jonathan Hutton of Outkick is on the line with us. Hutt, good morning. How are you?
They said I wouldn't survive Vegas, guys. I am back. I am back. It was a blast, and a shout out to you guys as well. I've still been crushed it out there. Every time I walk by, you had a great guest list and a great setup, and it's not easy doing that solo. Shout out Jared.
Yeah, no, he did a fantastic job and had some great content for sure. But we got a what turned out to be a good game, I guess. It was kind of boring in the first half, low scoring, you know, the defenses basically doing all the work, and then things opened up and we got overtime as well. Do you think that Kyle Shanahan made a mistake with the new overtime rules, taking the ball first instead of kicking it and getting it second?
Yes. I mean, I think that I think ultimately that Kansas City actually just they actually thought about it prior to the game. You know, I think that's right. Ultimately what it comes down to. Look, Shanahan can say what he wants. The thing is, you want to know what your opponent is going to do and what you need to do on the scoreboard, given that rule. Andy Reid said yesterday that they had discussed it with their analytics guy, and that the officials had even they have so many auxiliary officials for this game. They're everywhere. The guys in the black shirt, they were always coming out on the field. They would come over. They came over to Andy with like 2 or 3 seconds left prior to the kneel down before we went to overtime, and they asked him like, "Hey, what are you guys going to do?" They explained everything about the new format for this particular game, and that's whenever he said like, "Yeah, we're going to kick it if we win the toss. We need to make sure Patrick knows that because he's going to be out there to make the official call." But that so they knowing all that, I think Shanahan just kind of whiffed on it. I really do because you want to know. You want to know if you need to get three or get a touchdown. You can't win the game on the first possession. And what you can do, you can win the game on the second because you can actually go for two. If you need a touchdown, you go get a touchdown, you go for two, you can end the game right there. The ball game is in your control at that point. I tend to think that San Fran just kind of made up their decision like in the moment. And I think Kansas City actually knew what they were going to do before kickoff.
Yeah, Shanahan's getting just vilified throughout. I thought he made a right decision because that defense was gas, but we could play that game all day long. All right, so Hutton, let me ask you this. Every championship, you need motivation, right? I mean, for the first year of the championship with Mahomes, they got there. Then they got back again last year and all that stuff. And now you're thinking, all right, how do you get to the third one? You know, what's the motivation? And when Mahomes and Kelce and Reed are talking about that no NFL team has ever had a three-peat, I'm thinking, there you go. There's your motivation. That's going to get them back next year because now you got passion about what you need to do. So your thoughts, I mean, are they the favorites for next year as we look, you know, 363 days out?
Well, not according to Vegas, but according to me, yes. I mean, I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes until someone takes control of the AFC. The AFC doesn't necessarily go through Arrowhead anymore, but it goes through Kansas City. It goes through Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Andy Reid and his dominance, too, needs a mention here from what he's done in KC. Joe, the looking at the favorites for next year, they've got San Francisco in Las Vegas as the favorite, and then it's Kansas City. But the difference is there is a confidence. There is not cocky, there's more of a swagger to what Kansas City does because there was the Patriots way, and now there's like the Chiefs way because you get there and you just kind of go through, you get through the regular season to ultimately get to the postseason, right? You mentioned kind of are they bored or is there kind of a malaise over it? I felt like that's kind of what they look like this year. I mean, they were dropping passes. There were penalties. Patrick Mahomes is throwing 14 interceptions. That's the most in his career. And then they get to the postseason. I mean, Christmas Day, they're losing to the Raiders. And it looks a lot like the first half of the Super Bowl, where you got Kelce getting in the face of his coach and bumping him. You've got guys that are fumbling the football. You get turnovers. It just looks sloppy. Difference is Mahomes is just on a different level, and there's an expectation that you're going to just actually keep the car on the tracks, and that's what he does. He doesn't make the crucial mistake. He keeps you in games, and then he gets the football, and you expect him to go down and score. That's the definition of greatness in the clutch, and that's what he does, and everybody else just kind of follows suit. There's a way to go about things, and oh, by the way, next year they have a very young defense this year, a very affordable defense this year on the salary cap whenever you look at the actual figures that they're spending on defense compared to offense and compared to the rest of the league. Those guys are coming back, and it's not like a lot of them need extensions, but they are going to lose Chris Jones. Beyond that, they're going to load up and get a wide receiver. They're going to do some things during the draft, and they will be back in the hunt, and you still have to go through them in the AFC. Don't care about – I look at it from who's the biggest threat. I think the biggest threats have quarterbacks that weren't even playing in the postseason. I look at Joe Burrow and Aaron Rodgers, because right now Mahomes shows up and shows out in the postseason. The guys that they've gone against, not necessarily. Lamar Jackson and company. Josh Allen plays well. Played very well in the game against the Chiefs this year in the postseason. Doesn't matter because Buffalo can't beat Kansas City in the postseason. And then we saw what happened with Miami, who could not play in the cold. I mean, there's so many other factors, but the X factor is Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and whether or not you could just out-coach them during the week and outplay them on game day. And the point is simple. You can't. You can play perfect and still lose this game to KC. That's the difference between them and everyone else.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. And Brock Bowers was on with Pro Football Talk, and then he doubled down when he was on with Jared and said, you know, kind of flippantly that he'd want to play if he had his choice. He'd love to play in Tennessee for the Titans. And we see what Kelce did for Mahomes and this year, and obviously what George Kittle has been able to do for San Francisco. If Bowers is there at 7, knowing how good of a tight end he's supposed to be in the NFL, I mean, should the Titans just say, hey, let's do it, let's go ahead and get him and make him a dynamic player for Will Levis for many, many years, or how would you go about that?
I love Brock Bowers, man. I mean, it'd be hard for me to pass on him. The difference, the X factor for me would be who's at left tackle. I don't think you'll have the number one left tackle on the board there. But if you do, you can't pass. You can't pass on left tackle given the state of this offensive line and the fact that we're going to pair Brock Bowers with Will Levis. I mean, in reality, you're pairing Brock Bowers with a backup quarterback because Will Levis isn't going to survive the season. So yeah, I'm focused on the offensive line, as boring as that sounds. And again, I'm saying this with a hypothetical. I don't know what tackle is there at 7, because I do think the quarterback we could see go 1, 2, 3, and you have a lot of players that are pushed down your way. I'm not passing on the number one tackle on the board if I'm Tennessee. Just again, given the fact of just how horrendous this has been the last 2 years, but Bowers is he's one of those players that you know is going to be a hit, right? I love the fact that he gets hurt. He comes back and plays this year for Georgia anyway. He's already had 2 national titles, and he did it anyway. I love all of those things. And I love the production. But in order to have production, I need a solid offensive line. And I'm pairing a number one, top-end, A-list tackle with Bill Callahan. I don't think that's much of a decision for me, given what I've seen the last 2 years. However, this is also a head coach and I guess a makeup of coaches that he has put together that would have at least the same mindset of they did take Jamar Chase instead of going offensive line for the Cincinnati Bengals. We saw how that worked out. So, and that was Brian Callahan's line of thinking too. So he went receiver over tackle, so maybe they do it again here.
We will see and have many, many months to talk about it, or weeks to talk about it before they get to that point. Hutt, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good, guys. Have a great rest of the week. Always enjoy this.
Yeah, absolutely. Jonathan Hutton from OutKick joining us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. We'll come back and wrap things up with what day it is and celebrity birthdays. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.